Welcome. To Arcade Audio.
This week's episode of Married with Movies. I'm one of your hosts, Samantha Mullet. Sitting next to me on the couch is your other host, my beautiful husband, Chris Mullet.
How long would it take for you if I just didn't respond to anything you said on the podcast to just get it?
I'm not sure what you mean.
So you do the intro and I just sit here and I'm just doing my own thing. It's just reading a book or, acting as if I'm doing something for the show, but I just decided just not to talk. How long would you just sit here?
You keep it going every week when I do that, so.
I'm trying to gauge you versus me in terms of, which I already know the answer, skill and humor and effort.
Oh, well, I am flawless at all of those things. I could easily keep the podcast going, but you don't like to hear me talk. That's why you always take over and do most of the talking.
That's not true at all.
Oh, it's not?
You don't like to make it easy on me. So when I say something or ask you a question and you give me a three-word answer, it was good. And we're a fucking movie reviewing podcast. I'm all right, well, I guess I gotta have to add some fluff to the situation because you are worthless at times.
I see.
Yeah.
Fuck you, mullet.
Uh-huh. And I want you to cough some more. It is a day.
You don't have to do that. That's so mean.
I can hear the pieces in your throat. Ooh, Jesus.
I have a severe sinus infection.
You should have gotten taken care of weeks ago.
I can't hear anything. Uh-huh. Both of my ears are clogged. Mm-hmm. I have terrible congestion on my chest. I had minor bronchitis. What do you want from me?
You're just making stuff up. You specifically said you didn't have bronchitis.
No, he said I didn't have pneumonia. And he doesn't think I have bronchitis because he didn't hear any wheezing.
Mm-hmm. Every cough you have is wheezing.
Well, I didn't cough when I was in the exam room.
Of course you didn't cough when you were in there.
Of course.
Also, pieces in your throat, I think I rented when I was 19 years old.
I'm sure you did.
It is April 16th? Yay, yes. I got it right. 2024, if you're new here.
You're a piece of shit.
I'm a piece of shit. She's annoying as fuck, which means we decided to spend the rest of our lives together.
You don't need to say it like that, Chris. It was your idea.
Because you wouldn't shut up about it. And in that life, at the very least, we're going to commiserate with one another while we watch movies. Because we own a lot of them. We went a lot more after this past weekend. We went out a smorgasbord of shopping this weekend at a toy show. I'm not going to get into that, but I will say that all my jokes and barbs to Samantha will be a little bit lighter than usual because
she's are they? Really? Because it doesn't seem like that the first couple minutes of this show.
Wonderful person who got me a very, very gracious gift that's neither here nor there.
It's neither here nor there. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't want to it's a humble brag thing. I don't want to,
But you could at least be a little nicer to me.
I just said, you're wonderful and you bought me a great gift. Thank you very much. Take it. Enjoy it. Thank you. Bye.
a minute ago you called me worthless as well.
Well, as a podcast co-host, yes.
I shouldn't have it link to my value as a person.
No.
Got it.
Podcasting doesn't add any value to your worth as a person.
Great.
For anybody. No, please,
just
trust me.
Just want you to take your own advice there.
If you work at my employer and you heard that, forget about that because I'm heavily leaning on my podcast expertise to get a job I'm currently applying for. So yes, we bought a bunch of new movies from a bunch of different places, a bunch of records, had a good fun time over the weekend. Did we do something? Oh, no, we didn't do anything. And then Sunday we just went puttering around the house. I, in the past week, binged watched in the wake of O.J. Simpson.
Rest in peace.
Finally fucking Samantha. It's the first time anybody's ever scolded somebody for saying rest in peace. Fuck him. Rest in peace.
I mean, he was still like, he's still dead. Like, I don't know what you say to like a piece of shit.
O.J.
Like,
Simpson is dead. The end of it.
Hell. Like, that's I don't it. Know. Like,
no, you just say he's
it's
dead.
It's just like a reflex when you people say that.
No, you
like,
don't. But you have to have the presence of mind to not give the person any sort of well wishes or credit in the afterlife.
Okay.
Yeah. I rewatched O.J. Made in America, and I finished today The People vs. O.J. Simpson, which are both great. And because of that, I'm starting to watch the second season of American Crime Story, which was actually my favorite, the one about Gianni Versace. And I think I'm actually going to watch the third season, the impeachment one, which we never watched.
I would like to watch it.
That's really my point. Smith, I love you so much, and I love the time we spend together and everything that we watch and do. We have no time. We watched two episodes of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and we really liked it, and that was like a month ago. We have no time for anything. So I'm just going to start watching things. And
that's real rude.
I will make sure it's not like anything like we really want to watch.
I really want to watch that impeachment show.
Okay.
What else is on your list to watch?
No, I'm not going to tell you
now. I really
want
to watch all of it.
Uh-huh.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah. The one thing we did have time to watch, super late at night in an inebriated state, was the Riff Tracks version of our boy James Wen's Replicas. It was Replicas or Replica?
Replica.
It was just a single.
Singular Replica.
Right, look, fair question to ask. Because there's only one
Replica in
the movie.
If we didn't spend our time watching shit like that, we could watch all of these other things that are on
your list. It was an hour and 10 minutes.
I felt like a lot longer.
1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday into Sunday.
That could have been two episodes of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So, suck it.
What'd you think of Replica? I thought you were gonna shit your pants.
No, I had to pop my ear because I couldn't really hear you. Could you repeat yourself, please? I think I heard.
What'd you think of Replica?
Okay. Yeah.
It
is wild.
It's maybe
how like this guy exists,
mm-hmm.
and he just keeps doing. He's made his own James Nguyen
Weniverse.
The Weniverse.
Shout out to Mike and Bill and Kevin at Riff Tracks. They do a great job as
always.
On the call, if you will. At one point, I forget what happened in the movie, but I tried to let the couch eat me. Because I just couldn't get over what was happening. Mind you, this was after we had watched Conan O'Brien on Hot Ones, which in my humble opinion, I believe, is the greatest comedy performance of the 21st century so far. It is absolutely, like, I was in tears as he was watching that. Also, this was before we watched the Ryan Gosling SNL, which is, I think, one of my favorite SNL episodes of all time, immediately as well. So it was a big tiered, laugh-filled weekend in this household.
Absolutely.
Leading up to Samantha throwing up once again.
You didn't have... Why you have to do that? Like I said, I have this severe sinus infection.
That has nothing to do with it.
I've been coughing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And I couldn't breathe. And, I threw up. And I had to get rid of that trash can I threw up in.
Yes, you did.
Well, you weren't any help.
You
wouldn't come near me.
I brought you the trash can.
After I threw up, you wouldn't help me.
Oh, no. My job is done. My job is finished. I brought you the trash can. I don't want to feel the puke in the can. That's weird.
It was.
Yeah, especially because you were like, oh, it's a lot. And I'm
like. Yeah. Like, it was hefty.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot.
Yeah. It's official now. So I had a spat, maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, where every time I drank, I got violently drunk. Not I was punching people or things, but I just got fucking sick. Cause I was so focused on I don't get to get fucked up a lot. So I'm not eating a lot. So I would vomit crazy.
Yeah. Like that time you just destroyed our room on the cruise ship.
That was 10 years ago. That was
That wasn't 10 years ago. That was when I was pregnant with Jillian.
It was 7 years ago. What I'm referring to is there was two or three times.
Yeah, when you got really.
Yeah, where I had to pay a $250 cleaning fee for a Tesla.
When we bought this house. Well, we looked at this house.
Yeah, and we found this house the next day. And then there was a time Tope and I were doing a rumble. And again, it's always predicated around, like, I don't eat that much. But, like, you are now the puker. I haven't puked since I did that Tesla thing. I purposely do not drink as much because of that.
Well, but I'm not puking because of drinking.
No, but though. It doesn't matter. Like, I've passed the sure. puke to you.
Thanks so much. I mean, of all of the things. But I think in our relationship, you've still puked more than
me. Oh, yeah, no, I'm trying to catch you up. I told you, it's my goal. Every time we hang out now, I'm just trying to make you throw up from laughter. It's a pretty good life.
Or a great way to get divorced.
Your Honor, I can't be with this man anymore. He makes me laugh so much that I throw up.
In disgust.
Today's movie is from our can't pick list. If you're new to the podcast, we nominate movies back and forth. When one doesn't get picked, it goes on a list that we can't choose from anymore. But that list got to be too big, so now we're picking those off. And the podcast, the movie today is Some Like It Hot, voted by AFI, and I believe, like over 20 years ago at this point. I missed the AFI lists. Was voted the greatest comedy in film history. Some Like It Hot. And this is also a Criterion, a Billy Wilder production. The Criterion Collection, a continuing series of important classic and contemporary films, presents Some Like It Hot, one of the most beloved films of all time. The sizzling masterpiece by Billy Wilder set a new standard for Hollywood comedy. After witnessing a mob hit, Chicago musicians Joe and Jerry, Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon in landmark performances, skip town by donning drag and joining an all-female band en route to Miami. The charm of the group's singer, Sugar Cane, Marilyn Monroe, at the height of her bombshell powers, leads them ever further into extravagant lies as Joe assumes the persona of a millionaire to woo her and Jerry's female alter ego winds up engaged to a tycoon. With a whip-smart script by Wilder and I.A.L. Diamond and sparking chemistry among its finely-tuned cast, Some Like It Hot is as deliriously funny and fresh today as it was when it first knocked audiences out 6 decades ago.
God, I really struggled there. I feel like it should be more than one.
I got through it. I made sure to take the time and made sure I get things right. Criterions are always so wordy and fucking everything. I got one. So what's the score?
17-23.
Ooh! When did that happen? Oh, that's right. You really fucked up one, really. Like, fucked up like only 3 times.
Yeah.
Well, didn't help you because you don't have to say Irving Zisman.
Zisman.
Good for it. Had you seen Some Like It Hot before?
I have not seen Some Like It Hot before. Not in its entirety.
I honestly don't know if I'd seen it in its entirety. So my brain gets a little fuzzy because what I have seen is the musical, but not the new Some Like It Hot musical that came out, I want to say in the past, like just a couple years. There was a musical from the early 70s called Sugar that is just this movie. I don't know why they didn't call it Some Like It Hot 50 years ago when they did the musical, but all the characters' names are the same. Obviously, they created songs for the movie. I don't remember if they sang things that kind of are played out within this, but it was our junior year in high school, one of the main stages of our state thespian competition. And it was absolutely terrible. It was so bad that
really?
Me and all my friends in drama club, when we left, were like, yo, we're auditioning for main stage next year. If that gets main stage, like, we can do main stage. And of course, the next year, the main stages were incredible and we tried and we didn't get in. But it was just bad. But I obviously knew of and know the movie's reputation as being this landmark comedy film that, you know, received all these accolades and awards in a time when, you know, comedies were more susceptible to get that recognition than as today. Like, a movie like this today would never get nominated for Academy Awards, to the point where it is voted by Hollywood, essentially, as being, like, the funniest movie of all time, one of the greatest movies ever made. So I was looking forward to watching it in with 2024 goggles on in a myriad of ways.
I just can't believe that this movie is 60, 5 years old now? 85? How old is this movie?
This movie is This movie is 65 years old. You are correct. Yes.
No.
It will. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It'll 65, be 65.
Depending on when it came out. Yeah. So what'd you think?
Like, that's wild that this was made in 1965. I'm like, I feel like in some ways you can make something like this today conceptually.
Let's find the right word. I don't know if conception, spiritually, I think.
Okay, right, spiritually word. Is a little bit like, better.
This movie isn't offensive.
It's not offensive, and I know it's not trying to be. It's really good nature. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's a great movie. It's
absolutely fantastic.
It's a great movie. Yeah. I think, like, it just paved the way for a lot of things. I mean, think of all the things that came after this. Like, for this movie to have done all the things that it did this early on, and some of the choices that have been made with it, like it being in black and white versus color, like, especially, like, coming out so late. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I thought it was really wonderful. A really wonderful movie. And I can't believe I'd never seen this movie before, and main characters are, well, Joe and Jerry, which my grandmother, they call my grandmother Joe. Her name's Josephine. And my grandfather, they all called him Jerry. His name was Joseph. And then my grandmother was Josephine and her sister's Daphne. And that was the two main characters. I'm like,
that's female personas.
The female personas were Josephine and Daphne. And it, yeah. I thought that was so crazy. Like, what a coincidence. Like. That was so crazy.
Yeah, you can really take a through line from this movie to, I'll say today, but the modern Hollywood comedy is, like, dead, and it sucks. Because, like, you know, these movies just get thrown off on apps. People don't go to the theaters to see fucking comedy anymore. But, like, there's... This is kind of the great-grandfather and grandmother at the same time of, of, like, modern high-concept comedy in terms of the romantic element, in terms of slapstick, in terms of wit, in terms of, like, those big, like, show-stealing scenes where, like, hijinks and calamity just... snowballs on the top of one another and things come to a head and double entendres, like, you know, I'm sure those things existed before this movie, but this movie, I think, did it the best way. I mean, in the first 10 seconds of this movie, it looked better in terms of lighting, stunts, cinematography, and vision than everything we saw last week in The Fast and the Furious. Like, that movie came out, what, like 3-4 years before this one?
Yeah, and it seemed like
it was literally like a Wizard of Oz, Night and Day in color.
Yeah.
But that's a low bar from a Roger Corman movie to this. But as the movie, like, kept going on, I was really taken aback with, like, how expertly this movie was, like, put together. Like, how it was shot, how it was written, how it was performed. It really is kind of masterful that this is a 65-year-old comedy movie, and we were still sitting here laughing at things and enjoying it as if we were sitting in the theater the day
it came out. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And that says something about... And then, like, seeing how many problems they had while making it just adds another layer to that of like, awe almost. Of, like, what was accomplished with this movie.
Yeah, it's an incredibly notorious,
like,
film.
For some of the bad stuff.
99% yeah. Because of Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
She would be dead 2-3 years after this.
Yeah.
I should point out the same token. The other thing that I am kind of familiar with in this story beyond the musical Sugar is I was one of the poor souls that did sit all the way through Blonde last year, which was one of the worst movies that has ever been made, I think. And while it is not a traditional biopic that shows event of Marilyn, because instead it's trauma of Marilyn, they're all framed around important points of her life. So you do see her, like, preparing to, like, do this movie and being, you know, difficult. Now, I will say, you know, all the stories of her, like, some takes taking, like, 47 times, and it's literally a line as simple as, it's me, sugar, or, like, her going through drawers.
Through the drawers and having to have the line
having
there.
Having to have in each drawer what item she's supposed to be saying as she's opening the drawer. Like, that's wild. Like, how much somebody can be, like, on one or on all of them. I thought she's great in the movie. Like, they do a really good job of, like, finding the right takes and... That's like the perfect character for to play, is this kind of like flawed, ditzy, but like sweet.
But very like pure almost.
Yeah, she's what's the phrase I'm looking for? She's innocent to, she's naively innocent. Like she doesn't know what she's doing. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? It's the line from The Sandlot. Like, mm-hmm. like a woman that beautiful sometimes doesn't know the power that she holds over people.
Yeah.
And what she does that makes it even worse is just like...
Come on.
Booga booga. You know, I couldn't even, like, the... Of course, this movie being from 1959, we touched on a little bit last week when we talked about Fast and Furious, was, you know, women then versus women now, and, like, as bad as women have it now, it was a lot worse. I honestly didn't feel like in this movie, sure, there's plenty of lines in ogling and, you know, in comments directed towards her, but like that was like her. Like that's Marilyn Monroe's thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't feel it was really that bad. There were also positive stories behind the scenes where like some of the more like harder or difficult scenes, like she nailed in one take, and it's like, how the fuck did that, like, I forget what scene it was. She has, like, a pretty long, I think it's the beach scene where she first meets, Joe as the billionaire.
Yeah.
Like, she has a pretty, you know, lengthy, she has most of the dialogue there because he's being standoffish and he's, you know, trying to act like he doesn't care and she's just pouring her soul out and doing all these things. And, like, she apparently nailed all that stuff. Like, they're like, all right, check the gate, we're good.
Yeah.
So that's, like, you know, crazy, but... and then, of course, you have actors having to, you know, do multiple voices and walk in heels and, you know,
yeah.
there's, you know, a lot of men have talked about what a toll it's taken on them, you know, dressing up or being a woman in film. And these guys kind of had the same thing, but it doesn't matter because it all comes out as this production that, you know, is timeless. It really is the kind of thing that everybody kind of knows what the story is, and everyone that sees it enjoys it.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, the thing I was most concerned about age-wise was obviously, you know, we just touched on it poorly to an extent with the ogling and the sexes and whatnot, but I had assumed that it was going to be from a trans cross-dressing standpoint, the kind of thing where I was like, oh, this is going to be like such a...
Always have that trepidation, but...
Yeah.
I didn't think it was...
I don't think it did anything, really.
I don't think it was anything...
Literally used it as a tool. It was like, look, we're going to get fucking killed.
Right.
Like, how do we avoid it? We're going to dress like a woman.
Right. It was at first like the prank.
Yeah.
Right. Like the girl that Joe was like leading on or whatever, Nellie, like was like, oh yeah, they're looking for these instrument players. Go for it. Knowing it was women. It was the prank. They got mad. But then, hey, that was their way out.
Yeah.
Like they made it. Fit, they made it work, and it was like, I would do it to not get killed, like, you know, like, it was like, yeah.
My
I don't want Spats Columbo coming at me.
My dick and balls would be behind my fucking thighs so fucking quick if I saw a murder, and I was like, to get out of it, you have to be a woman?
Sign me up.
Give me a period.
Like, I will figure it out.
I don't know what to tell you, though, babe. Like, I think Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon can pass as women, obviously, right? Black and white.
Well, they tested it out. And
they did
actually
a good job, right? They did it.
They dressed up like it, and they...
But I hate to tell you this, darling.
I'd be a bullish, gangly woman, but...
Chris, you just shaved your face.
Yeah.
Like, not even 6 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
You already have a full beard, darling. Okay? I hate to tell you.
I would figure it out. I would just have a razor on me.
Just do it in the hallway.
So I appreciate, did you have a favorite part of the movie?
I had a lot. I just liked their interactions. I thought Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon had so much chemistry.
Amazing. Even from the very first scene they're together, yeah. When they're riffing back and forth, playing the instruments.
Not even talking.
Well, then
they start talking.
Yeah, and then there's the humor in it of Tony Curtis like saying all the things that, you know, are impossible to happen and then actually do happen.
Yep.
But just their down on their luck musician shtick with one another before the shit hits the fan the first time, which is the club getting raided by the cops. Yep. I wrote the same thing. I was like, God, these two together. They have impeccable timing. You believe them as friends.
They're
you believe
great.
Them as characters. Like, they're awesome.
I love it. I loved the scene on the bus when they all end up crawling into the bed.
The upper seven scene.
Absolutely hilarious. It just kept building and building. It was just
It is a comedy
awesome.
Masterclass. It has amazing escalation.
Great.
It is laugh out loud funny.
Hilarious.
It furthers the plot because you see Sugar's connection between each of
Every
them individually.
And then you also see it develops the character too because you see Daphne, you know, as you know, interact with all of them as well.
Oh yeah, Thursday, like getting hard.
No, so I'm a girl.
Oh yeah. Well, here's the thing, like 1959 versus 2024. Like this scene plays out today. Like man, there is so many like boner jokes, and it is so.
And they didn't even have to go there.
No,
it was just it was refreshing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's my favorite scene in the movie as well, by absolute far. It is so fucking good.
Right, and then, like, just ending with all the girls flying out the bunk because he pulled the emergency brake. Like, just hilarious. So I like that scene a lot. I think, love the, when they're having to leave. Like, when... They find out, it's hard because I don't know if I should refer to them as Josephine and Daphne.
Whichever.
So when, Josephine finds out Daphne's engaged.
Oh,
like,
the engagement
That
scene.
Scene, the engagement scene, and then, like, then they have to, and then it's like, why would a guy want to marry another guy? It's like, security! Like, just hilarious.
Yeah, that scene, apparently in test screenings, that scene, they had to go back and, like, space that scene out because like there's dialogue that like you need to further plot and understand things are going on, but people were losing it because people were laughing so loudly and missing it in that scene. And it's
great.
I'm engaged.
It was great. I love that scene, and then of course I love the ending.
Well, I mean it's the greatest final line in a movie ever.
It's
the perfect line.
Perfect. It's amazing.
Because nobody is.
Right, yeah. it's like, and you think it's gonna be complete opposite of that. It's like so great.
Yeah, you think
it's going one way, and then oop, it swerves. I really wish I was still doing my bit.
Comedy.
They don't make them like this anymore.
Well, comedy is subversion of expectations. Comedy is taking what you think is going to happen and finding the situation out of it that everyone can relate to in the most incredible and random ways. So in a regular real world situation, when that final scene happens and Osgood finds out that the person he's engaged with, despite all their objections, is a man instead of a woman, it would be this like, why didn't know? That's not funny.
Right.
The humor in it is the acceptance
of it. And it's like, no,
and
one's
it recontextualizes
perfect.
Everything you've seen before. Like,
it really does. And it
makes you think, like, did he even know? Like, he might have just known.
Right, he may have just known.
Maybe that was his thing, you know? Like,
right,
shit.
Exactly. And it just, it's just so refreshing, yeah. And it just keeps the movie this, like, positive and hopeful. Yeah.
Like, I'll go ahead
yeah,
and...
Yeah, it's great.
I'll go ahead and tip my hat to, the score for this movie. Cause I'm going to get into a few things I didn't like about the movie. I'm not going to give this movie a 10. It's damn close, though. But I think that without that final line, like, that line is what everyone remembers about that about this movie. And that line is so strong and so good that it does make you want to, like, go back and watch the whole rest of the movie in a different way. So, like, when I watched this movie, I obviously knew that was going to be the final line of the movie. And I knew that was where we were going with it all. But I didn't really pay attention to the movie. I was thinking about the line happening. If you just watch the movie without thinking about where you're going, I think it would be even better. And that's how I think it becomes this, like, all-time classic, you know, regarded as the best comedy ever. The other thing I like was, I kind of touched on it when I was summarizing the different things that this movie kind of laid the groundwork for comedy films afterwards, like just the zany slapstick escalation once, you know, the Friends of the Italian Band or something?
The Friends of the Italian Opera.
Opera, that's what it was. When the mobster organization in their cover comes to the same resort.
Hey,
you know,
Friends of Italian people, that's us.
they them getting caught in it again, running away, trying to figure out how to get out, and then they're doing the stuff with juxtapositioning Sugar's, like, sadness and depression because she thinks that the love of her life has left. It's just this, again, not to reuse a phrase, a snowball of what else can go wrong, how else can they escape. Yep. It's just a good, solid, and like madcap end to the movie. The biggest, like, drag down for me, no pun intended, is like the gangster stuff. Like, it's what?
No, keep going.
What are you giggling?
Just because I don't know if we're getting into performances or not.
Oh no! Yeah, no. He's coming up later.
Okay,
it's the same person we're talking about. I do have a list there though. I don't know. Just like, I'm glad it gets tied up. It was a good.
I'm glad that they didn't just leave it hanging.
Yeah, it was a good impetus to kick the action of the movie off. And
it was good MacGuffin throughout the whole movie. You can't tell me that that's not a MacGuffin. That's like the definition of a MacGuffin.
No, it's not. That is not a fucking MacGuffin.
Well, it was the MacGuffin of the movie. What's the MacGuffin of the movie then?
I'm going to look up right now.
What's the MacGuffin of the movie?
MacGuffins. I just want to see if there's a website that just, like, has them all. Nope, it just comes up at the bar at AMC, and it comes up with the Wikipedia page. Hold on, does this have one here? I don't think it does. Yeah, it doesn't. Okay. Anyway. This picture is very, very funny. It's a picture of Alfred Hitchcock with the Infinity Gauntlet. It says a MacGuffin. But I think it's also because those are, like, the weakest performances in the movie, without getting into the specific one I talk about. Like, the early stuff with, like, the cop kind of going into the bar and staking it out. And then later on when there's this other character that, you know, is more important than the gangsters we already knew, and they get whacked. Like, it's just, there's no humor that comes from it. It's just, like, drapery around
I mean, it's kind of like the exposition. It's just kind of trying to build up, and like it is like the why they're in the mess that they're in. Sure,
and it doesn't take up too much of our time. Like, you know, everything gets set up pretty easy and quick. Like, before I know it, Tony Curtis is doing a woman's voice on the phone, and like we're off and running. But it still kind of bookmarks the movie in a weird way. Man, can I say I am glad that I did not live through Prohibition. That would have sucked.
You would have been.
I would have
been
miserable.
Miserable.
Look, I'm not a history person. Like, what was the point of that? Why did we do that?
Because people were sinning.
It was strictly a religious thing?
I don't know, man. It was the 20s.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. Hold on. I want to find out why we did Prohibition.
Maybe it was just a MacGuffin of history.
It was 13 years. Good Lord.
Yeah, it was a while.
It was just state legislation.
But, like, why?
I don't know. Led by pieistic Protestants. And
yeah, see, I told you it was religious.
Yep. They aimed to heal what they saw as an ill society beset by alcohol-related problems, such as alcoholism, family violence, and saloon-based political corruption.
Okay, we still have all those things, even when Prohibition.
Not a bunch of horseshit. Religious use of wine was still permitted. Yeah, go fucking figure. Yeah, Prohibition. What a dub fucking racket that was. Anything you didn't like about the movie? I have a couple more, but I want to make sure I give you equal time.
Yeah, since you always like to, you know, just talk over me. I understand the millionaire thing. Like, why Joe then became, like, the millionaire, whatever. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily a fan of it.
I agree.
But, like, I get it. Like, because it's too risky to have, like, the two women fall in love or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think that was a part of it. I think that that's adds to the bit of the hijinks, right? It's like, how can he juggle?
Right. He had the earrings on. Things. It's like,
yeah. He's in the bathtub with the full suit.
Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah.
Well, even.
Yeah.
There's some parts of the movie where I'd never noticed Mrs. Doubtfire frames scenes exactly the same way as this movie. There's the one scene where he, like, runs back to his room and is, like, getting changed. And it's literally, framed the same way as Robin Williams when Mrs. Selner is, like, visiting and he's, like, getting changed and talking to her out there. Like, the window's in the same spot. He's in the same spot. Like, it's crazy how influential and timeless this is. But, no, I agree. The scene on the yacht, to me, was like,
yeah, the yacht. I was like, okay.
It's long. It's a little uncomfortable.
Real uncomfortable. Oh, no, that didn't do anything to me. Kiss me again.
Yeah, like that. I think like, that scene is.
Is he, like, paralyzed? Like,
well, no, he's. I think he's trying to
make it.
I don't
get. Maybe that was the MacGuffin.
Him pretending to be able to not get boners?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to start calling my dick a MacGuffin. Make your own jokes there wherever you want, people. But the thing I didn't like about it the most was the voice. Like, I get he was going for a Cary Grant thing, but the voice was really distracting.
Yeah, it was like, it was too cartoonish. It was just too much.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, because I don't think I've ever heard Cary Grant speak in his normal voice. Like, anytime I've seen a Cary Grant movie, it's, you know, I'm Cary Grant.
Yes, yeah. You.
Yeah. But for that, it was just like, man, that's just a little, yeah. That's just a little much for my taste. Now, I do like I talked about earlier, the first scene where, like, him on the beach, and he's, like, pretending to not be interested, and she's pouring her heart and soul out. And then Daphne comes over and finds out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then it's like,
that's hysterical. That deepens the story.
Right. So it moves stuff along. But like you said, like it I could have done with it being shorter. Like, it was too long and it was a little uncomfortable. Like, I do like the hijinks that came out of it, though.
Yeah. But that performance and that story is why I lean one way to MVP versus another. I think the MVP of the movie is Jack Lemmon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even the juxtaposition between, like, those yacht scenes and, like, Jack Lemmon doing the tango.
Dancing with Osgood.
And dancing with Osgood. And just, like, the progression of that. I mean, even just that juxtaposition alone. Like,
so, what a lot of people have said about the movie is that Tony Curtis was a better woman. I'm not going to touch that one. There's just rumors. But while he looked better and, like, definitely talked better and walked better... Jack, that's not the point.
It's not the point, and it's also, it's like, Jack Lemmon didn't care. It was almost like one was trying too hard, one was trying to mind their P's and Q's and everything.
Right.
And it wasn't, to me, as authentic as
absolutely.
Jack Lemmon's portrayal. Like, that's when we talk about, like, authenticity and, like, just doing the damn thing, being it. That's it. So yeah, I think while, okay, maybe wasn't as, buttoned up of a woman portrayal, I think it still was a lot better. I enjoyed watching it a lot more.
Yeah,
Jack, and as a character and everything.
Jack Lemmon is absolutely fucking killer in this movie. And this was kind of his, you know, his big break. Like, he'd been in stuff. But, like, the Jack Lemmon that we know today is being, like, one of our greatest actors of all time, this multi-time Academy Award winner. This was, I think, his first nomination, or one of his first nominations. But because, I think Tony Curtis is still great in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But Lemmon is funnier, and exactly what you said, he is giving the better performance based off of, like, what he's carved out as that person. And like how he handles the duality of it all.
Yeah.
I still think Marilyn Monroe was absolutely, she has the most amazing charisma. Like, how can you not just be, like, zeroed in on her?
She's enthralling to watch.
Yeah. I was expecting a total shit show based off of the urban legends around her at this time and in the movie, but, like, she's captivating and she does a great job.
She does. And some of the lines are just beautiful. Like, I mean, I like, you know, when she was like, oh no, I'm just dumb, or, like, you know, like, whatever, like, she just was just herself, and it was just so great and refreshing to see. But, like, I think probably one of my favorite lines in this movie was, like, when she's describing her night, she's like, oh, it was suicidally beautiful. And I was like, I've never heard that phrase before.
Yeah.
And just, like, the way she delivered it in retrospect, you know, but I don't know, it was just captivating to watch.
Yeah, it's, God, you could make a movie just about all the trivia in this movie from IMDb. Oh, the scene, I was incorrect, the scene where Sugar gets into bed with Jack Lemmon, the upper seven scene, that's the only scene that she managed to do in one take. And she's like, just rambling in that part.
Yeah, she,
like,
is.
She's just going there. I also loved Joey Brown, the guy who plays Osgood. Like, what a fucking great character. That guy is absolutely hysterical.
The ensemble overall of, like, the main people.
Even, like, all the side characters. Like, I liked, what's the name of, like, the band? Like, the main woman from the band?
Oh, Sue?
Yeah, Sue.
Sweet Sue?
And who, and the guy she kept yelling for?
Bernstein?
No, it wasn't
Beanstein?
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 No, I got it here. It's not Beanstein. Hold on. It is, I'm gonna find it.
So, Sweet Sue is her name.
Beanstalk.
Beanstein.
Zisman. Beanstalk, even those two, like, their little, like, rapport and chemistry, like, that's another thing, is modern comedies have these, like, tertiary, even, like, fourth layer, like, characters that are good for a couple lines, or some, repartee, and, like, this movie does the same thing. I wish, like, now, like, this movie had a good balance. Nowadays, if they make this movie, like, every single girl in that band would have, like, a shtick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it would get, like, pitch perfect, where it's like, oh, this one's going to be, like, doesn't talk. One. This one's going to be a full-blown lesbian. This one's going to make fun of her immigrant family. Like none of those girls had anything. And, like, you could have probably gotten away with at least one or two of them, you know. But it was the perfect amount of balance in this movie where you didn't need any more of them. all right, so we made Jack Lemmon the MVP. LVP.
I don't know his name.
Mike? I do.
Did I just see it?
No, not that guy. His name is Harry Wilson.
Harry Wilson, yeah, that guy.
He's one of Spatz's henchmen.
Oh, man, he's called the same birthday as Jillian.
I called him the buttermilk guy because...
Oh, yeah.
No. You're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to nail it. In the first scene, when the undercover cop, you know, uncovers the speakeasy out of, what was it, was it a laundromat or a restaurant? Where did they go into? It was like cannolis, it was like a dry cleaners, right?
No.
Where the speakeasy was, or where the bar was, where they were playing. What is it?
I
know it's called cannolis.
A funeral home.
Oh, cannolis funeral home, sorry. And, you know, they do the big bust, and he goes over to Spatz, the main gangster's table, and, you know, he's talking about, you know, the alcohol they're being served, this and everything. And this fucking henchman, he gargles out of his mouth once the cop takes a drink of the beverage in hand. This.
To see what it was. Yeah. Make sure it wasn't alcohol.
Buttermilk.
No, that's not how he said it.
How would you say it?
Buttermilk. I don't know.
No. All right. No, hold on. We got to fuse it too. Because he did have like a little bit of like a bell to him.
Yeah, he did.
So, buttermilk.
Yeah. That's it.
Buttermilk. And then he proceeded to continue to have lines throughout the movie. I have no idea what was wrong with that guy's face and voice. I do. I think he actually had acromegaly, which
he
is like
what?
Acromegaly. That's like the gigantism disease that like under the giant ad.
He wasn't a giant.
No, but like still, look at his face. He had like those big trollish features.
Yeah, but Andre the Giant was, you know, charismatic.
Like if you look that way, I get your choices in life are limited. So being like a henchman in a movie, you know, of like the ugly.
Sure.
Mafia variety is probably your best bet. That doesn't mean you have to give him lines. Just don't let him talk.
I guess. I have a question for you.
What?
How many movies do you think he acted in?
Oh, this was like the 50s. This guy's probably been in like 600 movies. That's a joke. He probably was in like at least like 100 or so.
353 movies.
He was in The Wizard of Oz. What was he in The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to find it. Because he was in 353 movies. I got to shift through them. Like, it's a lot. And, like, a lot of them were in the 30s.
This big-ass guy was probably just, like, one of the guards at the witches.
He was a Winky, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he's my LVP. I do have another list. That's just me having a stroke and trying to take a shit. I didn't like the guy who played Spatz either. I thought he was very monotonous.
Spatz
Columbo.
Spatz.
And then Little Bonaparte came on really strong at the end of the movie. Not just for the name. Because, like, look, Little Bonaparte sounds like something you tell a girl that is into history what your genitals are like.
Is that the name now of
No, it's still MacGuffin. But man, if you meet Little Bonaparte, let me tell you. Oh, just wait until I see your Waterloo. That guy came on really strong because he was doing he was doing a bad Mussolini impression is what he was doing. But he had this voice and this like spastic energy about him where I was like, is there something wrong with this guy? Like legitimately? And I think the buttermilk guy said something else. I'm like, okay, never mind. It's buttermilk.
Buttermilk guy.
Yeah, so Harry Wilson is
buttermilk
the
guy.
Harry Wilson's the LVP of Some Like It Hot. I mean, I want to look at the AFI comedy list. Top 100 years, 100 movies, 100 laughs. It was in 2000. So, yeah, it's coming up on the 25th anniversary of this list. So I want to have another one. Nope, don't open the external list. All right, so the list was, I want to see how many of the top 10 you've been in. Funny, which actor you think had the most appearances on the list with 8?
Marilyn Monroe.
No.
No, I don't know.
Cary Grant.
Oh, hi. Okay.
So the top 10 is Airplane. This is from 10 to 1. Airplane, The Graduate, It Happened One Night, MASH, Blazing Saddles, Duck Soup, Annie Hall, Dr. Strangelove, Tootsie, and Some Like It Hot. So the fact that the top two are Some Like It Hot and Tootsie...
says something about society. Let me tell you what. In 2000,
it sure does.
Let me tell you what.
Both are... I mean, legitimately, both are great movies and both they handle are deserving of their spots to a certain extent. But,
But I mean, but there's a difference between movies like... Mrs. Doubtfire, like more recent, right?
Yeah.
Like Mrs. Doubtfire. I think that's
actually on the list. Hold on,
keep White talking. Girls. You know what I mean?
Hey, be careful. People fucking love White Girls.
But I'm saying, like.
You gotta be careful.
But I'm saying both of them use drag as a mechanism in the same way Tootsie and Some Like It Hot do. And the caliber is very different. I don't care if you love it, of course. Sure. Love it all you want. I don't care. But the caliber is very different than, like, if you compare White Girls to Some Like It Hot.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
this is a wild list, man. I mean, in fact, this is 25 years old. I don't know what would be added. Like, most modern movie on this, is there something about Mary? Oh, no, Mrs. Doubtfire is on it. It's number 67. But, like, there's something about Mary's, like, 27. It's above Ghostbusters and Spinal Tap and stuff. Because it was, like, newer. I would love to see what this list would look like nowadays and what would, like... What would be on it? What do you think would be on it from the past, like, 25 years?
The last 25 years of comedy?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to see a list of what's come out.
I think... So let's just look at best comedy.
Probably like...
21st century.
Hangover. Probably the first one.
Be close.
How many's on the list?
What?
How many is on the
100. List? 100.
I think probably it would make it. Again, it just depends.
There's so many movies on here from like the 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, that still kind of like hold up.
Sure.
You know, so you have...
I think probably The Hangover.
I think you definitely have Superbad on there.
Yeah.
You have Blockers on there. I think an easy like 5 or 10 that would be on there was obviously you'd have some Apatow representation. So you'd absolutely. Have Superbad. You'd probably have 40-Year-Old Virgin or Knocked Up. Anchorman would 100% be on there. I think Shaun of the Dead would 100% be on there. I think
Shaun of the Dead
Borat
for sure.
would probably be on there for significance.
Something
Bridesmaids,
like, yeah, something like
Tropic Thunder,
Tropic Thunder, Step Brothers.
Yeah, like you definitely have some Will Ferrell representation. In that,
yeah, Elf would probably be on there.
Yeah,
Elf would probably be on there.
It'd be a lot of Will Ferrell. It'd be a lot of
but there's Apatow, not, like, Wedding Crashers would probably.
When you're also going to have things that kind of. Like, you know, there's stuff on the list I'm looking at it now.
Mean Girls.
Right, where I'm like, well, what, you know, I saw a movie, I'm like,
Where really? The Millers.
That counts? Nah, no, you're going crazy. There's a movie I saw, I was like, really? That we're going to put that on the comedy list? And I was kind of like, all right, sure.
They put Parasite here on the comedy list.
Yeah, Parasite's not a comedy.
Yeah, that's it's on this list here. I'm
that list is wrong. Like Beetlejuice on this original list. So, I mean, I I'm going to say until I'm blue in the face, I want the AFI list to come back. I don't know why they aren't a thing anymore. I think probably just because of, like, rights and, like, well, you know, how difficult it gets to, like, put those, you know, shows on television. But yeah. That's this movie, as of right now, will forever be considered the greatest comedy of all time. So, there you go.
I mean, it really did set the stage, so.
It is true. What is this big ass? Oh, that's the original. Okay. Anything else on Some Like It Hot?
No, I think we covered everything.
All right. Well, let's score it. I already tipped my hand to it, so I'll go ahead and say what I'm going with here.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I do have a question.
Sure.
If you were in... a jazz band, what instrument would you play?
The drums.
They didn't have a drummer, did they?
I'm pretty sure they had a drummer.
I don't think so. I don't think they had a drummer.
Well, if it's not that, I'm singing.
Or, no, because like they had like, she played the uke, they had like the sax, the bass.
I think they had a drum.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like when they were practicing on the train.
I really wasn't paying attention to like
the instruments,
the roles of the band that closely. Because Marilyn Monroe was on screen, so
I got you. Yeah,
so they add her to my list, but like that just goes without saying. You can name the list after her. I'm gonna give.
If you were gonna ask me what instrument I played,
aren't you? I would not want to wish that up on anybody, even in a hypothetical.
Why not,
Samantha? I love you so much. You have no musical rhythm whatsoever.
Maybe I will now after this infection because my ears are like all messed up.
No.
Maybe that was the problem all the time.
No. You'll be worse. I don't know how. You'll be worse. Like,
but I love
you,
it.
I know.
I love music. It's
a tragedy.
I love music and
it's
I love to sing and play instruments.
Even more tragic is having to hear it.
That's so mean.
I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I love you. But, yeah.
That's like the meanest thing you've ever said. He's not gonna stop me.
No. It's part of the deal. I signed up for the gig. This is what I gotta live with.
I'm
giving this movie a 9.
I'm also giving this movie a 9.
A 9 for Some Like It Hot, I think is very fair for one of the greatest comedy movies of all time. I don't know. I'm looking at our shadow box in the corner. Shaun of the Dead. Is that the only like pure comedy
Guardians?
We have on there? Yeah, Guardians.
First Guardian. I mean, I don't know if it's action. Like, I don't.
That's
know
like
what
a superhero movie. That's you know.
I can't see. I gotta go over there.
I mean, I should have it written down somewhere so I don't have to, you know, consult.
Oh, I do have it written down.
Yeah, then fucking pull your list up.
Oh, I have it written down here. Married with Movies 10s here. Did we have one after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Oppenheimer.
Okay. And we have a pin for that, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so Pulp Fiction?
No.
WALL-E?
No.
Aladdin?
No.
Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Schindler's List? No. Incredibles? No. Get Out? No. Moonlight?
No.
Up?
No.
Inglourious Basterds?
No.
Creed?
No.
Toy Story?
No.
Toy Story 3?
No.
Whiplash?
No.
Back to the Future? Probably the closest.
Sci-fi.
Yeah. Parasite?
I'm thinking like predominantly. Yeah. No.
Parasite? It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
That's one.
Seven? Everything Everywhere All at Once? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
So.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's like close, but
I wouldn't say it's a predominantly comedy.
I think that's what it, I mean, Golden Globes aren't the best, you know.
No, it's definitely not predominantly comedy, Chris. Absolutely not.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
It's not a comedy.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood
is categorized as
comedy drama, yeah. I would say it's more of a comedy than anything.
No, I disagree.
Well,
I disagree. No, I was still working at FYE, and you asked me where to find Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it would not be in the comedy section.
I think having this movie right behind, like, Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Shaun of the Dead, while most people would hear and be like, well, that's fucking blasphemy, I think for a modern couple is totally fine.
I think it's totally fine. It's not like we gave this movie a 1.
Yeah. This movie's great.
It's a great movie. I'm so sad I had never seen it before. I can't wait to talk to my grandmother about it. I'm sure she's seen it, having, you know, grown up in this time. And I'm sure, like...
Growing up, she was an adult when this came out, Samantha.
She was 26, yeah.
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 Well, like, grew up. I mean, yeah, it's fine. She wasn't a mom yet.
So a 9 for Some Like It Hot. Can you pull up the random number generator, please?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure can.
1 and 108.
I also shared that list with you, so you should also have that list.
Okay. Oh,
so you.
You
know.
Thank you.
Like, it was like a while ago, though, when I did it. So,
well, it's at
so
the bottom.
Fuck you. 1 to what?
108.
1 to 108. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 2.
2. Okay. Captain Phillips.
Oh, finally.
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 So, literally.
Look.
Look
at me.
We can finally look at him.
Look at me. We can finally do it. We've been doing that since since
2014. 2014.
And we did it so much that Jillian started doing it when she was a baby.
Literally the second movie. I mean, well, I've rewritten this list several times. I don't know if there's things, but one of the, conceivably one of the first five movies that were, that was a part of this list. We'll finally
watch for the podcast,
Captain Phillips. After next week's episode, which will be B-Movie. We've already watched B-Movie, but we've had a request from our daughter to join us for that podcast. I will not be able to do that podcast with her.
No, no, we said that she could.
In its entirety. So we will make sure that she at least gets to
do a stinger.
You got your stinger joke in on the air, so great.
I did.
And then tomorrow or Thursday or at some point in the next week, I swear to Christ, we are going to watch Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick so we can get that backlog out of the way. And then we'll do Prince of Egypt, the movie you voted for us to watch from the Mullet Awards. And then, yeah, finally get some new stuff in the pipeline, like Captain Phillips and whatever I nominate to watch next week. So thank you for listening to this week's episode of Married Movies. We encourage you, as always, to go to arcadeaudio.net for this podcast and the others in our network of shows. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you're going to patreon.com/arcadeaudio for bonus content, facebook.com/marriedmovies, at marriedwmovies on Twitter, marriedwmovies@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the show. For me, at your host, Malt38 on Instagram. For you,
at Jam with your Sam.
On the Arcade Audio network of shows, Podswoggle's most recent episode, our quarterly game episode, is live for your listening enjoyment, maybe even your viewing enjoyment, if I can figure out this video editor that I'm working on at the moment for one of the games we played, which does have a visual element to it. So be on the lookout, hopefully, for that.
Well.
And I think that's all she wrote.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else.
Yeah. Nothing else we got going on. And yeah. Again, thank you for bearing with us schedule-wise. This is airing kind of whenever.
Yeah, sorry.
There will be an episode hopefully every week. It just will be no consistency as to when day-wise that drops.
It's a surprise.
We're going to try to have it be Sunday or Monday, but this is airing on Tuesday, technically, so,
you sometimes, know. But you know what? Sometimes there are surprise midnight showings of things, and we're going to keep you on your toes.
I saw one of my YouTube recommended short videos was a guy who went to Cade the Tortured Crossing, the new Neil Breen movie, at his local theater in Portland.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was from a while ago, and it just got it recommended to me, but I looked up to see if there were any more showings or if there are any in Florida, because you best believe I would drive. And there was one in Fort Myers, I think, 6 months ago. And I was like, all right, I got standards. I'm going to Fort Myers to see a Neil Breen movie.
It also was 6 months ago, man. We missed it.
One of what I'm saying.
Let's stay on top of it.
If I were to look it up, it's oh, Neil Breen has a showing of his movie in Fort Myers in June. I'd be like,
oh, sorry. Yeah.
I'm good. He has a partnership with the Alamo Draft House, which I would, trust me, I know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I want it, but, not that bad. So, oh, man. All right, we have to watch all these YouTube videos of Neil Breen now that I just found his updates and things. So.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, all right. For a Mullet.
This is Mullet.
Signing out for this week's episode of Married with Movies. We'll catch you next time on our couch.
/ the movies. His bullet points of who he is on his website are world-class architect, Ferrari owner, formerly a licensed real estate agent, actor par excellence, director without peer, and the most important independent filmmaker of our generation.
He also calls himself the man, the myth, the movies.
The man, the myth, the Breen.
Thank you for playing Arcade Audio. Play more at arcadeaudio.net.